The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
You know, I remember the day I made a decision to take my hands off my life. I didn't know where we were going. But he was putting leadings in my heart that I didn't understand. And that day, I decided to trust him. And I'm just thinking about that day now and I'm happy. Lord, you don't need... You know, I pray that today will be that day for you. That you want to say, you see, this thing you want me to do, they've been shouting it, they've been talking about it. I'm saved, I know, but they've been calling me to a higher level of commitment, a higher level of whatever with you, but today I want to take my hands off and I want you to lead. I remember vividly. I didn't know what it was going to be. It costed friends. It costed me friends. It costed me connections. Costed me my ambition as I thought I had then. But I'm happy I took my hands off my life. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life.
And away you should go.
Say it one more time. God, you don't need me.
Oh, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that
open hands up.
To open my hands up and give you control. And give you control.
I got me so gideya. So gideya, eh, obweze mo, agame so gideya, so gide Jesus, rembi jem gago. Agame so gideya, so gideya, eh, obweze mo, agame so gide Jesus, rembi jem gago. Ya meri osoro wa ha me.
Jesus funge.
Osoro wa ha me.
Jesus funge.
Hey.
Oh, why not me ya?
Hey.
Agamarabuya.
Hey. Song and I begin to preach. You know this song that says, "This is the air I breathe." It's been sinking in my heart for some days now. Let's sing it.
This is the air I breathe.
Even if you don't know the song, just raise your hands.
Your holy presence
living in me. Come on,
living in me.
Say, this is my daily bread. Sing it like you know what you're saying. Come on.
This is my daily bread.
This is my daily bread.
This is my daily bread.
Your very word spoken to me. Come on.
Your very word.
Spoken to me. Come on, sing it like you know it.
Spoken to me. And
hey, come on.
I'm just before you.
Love.
I'm lost without you.
Sing one more time.
And I'm tired of the status quo. There's got to be more than this. There's got to be more. There's got to be more.
There's got to be more than this. Cause desperate people do desperate things. And we're pressing in. There's got to be more.
There's gotta be more than this. I'm tired of the status quo. Sing it again.
Cause I'm tired of the status quo. It's gonna be more than this. There's gotta be more. Gotta be more.
Gosh.
There's gotta be more than this.
Desperate people do desperate things.
Desperate people do desperate things. And we're pressing in. There's gotta be more. Gotta be more. There's gotta be more than this.
I'm tired of the status quo.
I'm tired of the status quo.
There's gotta be more than this.
There's gotta be more. more than peace.
There's gonna be more.
There's gonna be more. Gotta be more.
There's gonna be more than
this. Gotta be more than
this. I'm tired of the status quo.
I'm tired of the status quo.
There's gonna be more than this.
There's gonna be more than this.
There's gonna be more than this.
There's gonna be more. Gotta be more.
Whoosh.
There's gotta be more than this.
Desperate people sick.
Desperate people do desperate things, and we're pressing in. There's gotta be more, gotta be more. There's gotta be more than
desperate people do desperate things.
Desperate people do desperate things, and we're pressing in. There's gotta be more, gotta be more. There's gotta be more than
this. Desperate people do desperate things.
Desperate people do desperate things. So we're pressing in. There's gotta be more, gotta be more. There's gotta be more than this.
I'm trusting the Lord that He will plant a desperation in your heart. You get the point? That's as you leave this place, desperate for something, for kingdom realities, kingdom values. You need to be desperate to see your city taken, desperate to see your street saved. That desperation landed on me years ago and it has not left. You began to do desperate, combing bushes, combing schools, combing the streets. That desperation to see. Wow.
There's gotta be more than this. There has gotta be more, gotta be more. There's gotta be more than this.
Father, touch these hearts. May these few minutes not leave us the same. May it change the direction of our lives forever. May it awaken dead passions. And may it birth new passions. In the name of Jesus, let this meeting not leave us the same. That everyone that has walked into this place will leave this place with a different sense of peoples. In the name of Jesus, that will leave this place with a different sense of peoples, a different sense of commitment. That will overwhelm us and will not let us rest until we see that which is in your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. So let's be seated. Glory to God. So this morning is first Sunday in June, right? It's a happy new month for people that used to miss Thursday services. Happy New Month. If you are in Thursday service, we've said it on Thursday, right? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, this is June. So, our year is running already. Amen. And you notice June started, first Sunday in June, started with rainfall. Amen. And then a couple of persons are not in church today. And let me see this opportunity to say that that is irresponsibility. Are you getting me? And I tell you for free. Even if it's raining cat and dog in your area, if you had jam to write this morning, you will go and write it. True or false? I tell you for free, no matter what it is raining in your area, it shows your value system and it shows your priority. It shows your priority. We're even talking about jam. If today was your wedding, you will go. You don't know. Okay, even if today is even your sister's wedding, you will go. True or false? If today is your friend's wedding, you will still go. The worst is you carry umbrella. And so, if for any reason you didn't come to church, fine. But if it's because of the rain, irresponsibility. I'm sorry. Even if you're following this service online now and you didn't go to church because of
whatever. Don't feel guilty. Just make sure you go next Sunday. Are you following me? Don't do that. Don't do it. It shows your value system. You know, let me say this to you guys. We have an online community and I celebrate them a lot. But even those guys in the online community will tell you that they're looking forward for when they'll be in a physical church. Because it's not the same thing. You know, it's not the same thing, right? It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. And so you that have opportunity to be in a physical church, you have follow online. Your data will finish. Amen. Don't mind me, Sha. You know, by the time you should be used to me in this church, bruh. Don't be taking things so seriously. But if you take it seriously, it's fine. Your daughter will just finish. You do another one. Amen. So what are we teaching on this month? How to take a city. Hallelujah. You know, someone might see this topic and say, what's my business? Am I contesting for election? So how to take a city? How to take your city? So this morning is going to be very short, I believe. Because I want us to pray. Amen. So how to take a city? Okay, this is better. It's coming up. Amen. Now, I'm going to lay some foundation today. Next week, we're going to do a lot more things. What does it mean to take a city in the context we are discussing it? What does it mean? Does it mean to win an election? You know, a lot of crazy stuffs have come into the church. And people think that, you know, when we have a believer or we see believers, maybe a believer is the Senate's president, a believer is the president of the country, a believer is the governor, it means we are taking the city. Maybe not. Are you following me? Maybe not. What it actually means to take a city, Acts 19, verse 10, I'll give you three things that happens when a city is taken. And what do you mean by that? In Acts chapter 19 and verse 10, we read about the account of the ministry that Paul did in Ephesus, Asia. If I would say this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So the first thing it means to take a city we see in this verse is that there was so much spread of the word that everybody in the city heard the word. So what does it mean to take a city? It means the spread, the influence, and the prevailing of the word of God. I say it again, the spread, the influence, and the prevailing. If you go all the way to verse 20, you see the Bible tell us that in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So don't talk about taking a city, we're talking about coming to a time, for instance, in the city of Enugu, on your street or wherever, where the word, the spread of God's word has gotten to everybody. Where the influence of the word is so strong. Are you getting me? Where the influence and the word has prevailed. For instance, where false doctrine and where right teachings have prevailed over wrong teachings. Where everybody will say, I've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to take a city. Are you getting the point? Where there is so much prevailing. And of course, whenever that happens, you know what it will lead, but I'm coming to that. So you see in this city of Ephesus in Asia, it doesn't mean everybody there was born again, but at least everybody had the word. And in verse 20, it told us the word prevailed. When you say the word prevailed, it means that, you know, the word prevail looks like a battle term, right? When we talk about prevail, it means there was a contest. In other words, the word prevailed over magic. The word prevailed over religion. The word prevailed over diabolic powers. The word prevailed over wrong teachings. I get that point. And that was happening in Ephesus. We're going to look at that Acts 19, thoroughly in this study. Or maybe not today. So the word of God prevailed. It prevailed. In Acts chapter 5, verse 28, we read again of the account of the apostles in Jerusalem. Now, this was when they arrested them. So they were correcting. The high priest was shouting at them. He said, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach us in this name? Or you should not teach in this name. And behold, listen together. Behold, what happened? You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. That's the spread of the word. That's taking a city. This guy said, you guys have filled this entire city with this same message you say you should not preach. So when we talk about taking a city, we're talking about where the impact and the influence and the spread of the word of God is, as infills our cities. Where our cities become lighted with the truth of God's word. While some may believe it, some may not believe it, but at least there is a spread of it. Are you following me, guys? That's what it means to take a city. It means that it is spread, the influence, and the prevailing of the word. Of course, the second thing it means to take a city, which will be produced by this first one, is in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, the salvation of many. We may not be able to get everybody saved. But when the word of God grows in a city, it will get many saved. And the word of God increased. What did it produce after the word of God increased? The number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. That's the growth of the word. That's taking the city. Are you following me, guys? So taking the city is not talking about coming to a point where, you know, all over the place, people Christians are contesting for election. No. He's talking about, look at the first thing that happened, the word of God increased. What did he produce? The number of disciples multiplied. The Bible tells us that the great number of the priests became, in fact, these are priests in Judaism and all that, they became obedient to the faith. So even people of other religion and people in place of authority began to respond to the word of God. That's what it means to take a city. So we're talking about taking a Enugu city, we're talking about coming to a point where there is a strong influence, strong spread, strong prevailing of the word, so that many will come to the knowledge of that word, will come to accept the message, and will grow in that message. So you notice what the Bible said? It didn't say that many of them got born again. It's beyond that. It said the number of what? Number of what? Talk back to me. Are you in church? Number of what? The word disciples means students. It means these guys did not just get born again. They became students of the word. They began to grow. And so when we talk about Enugu, for instance, being taken, we're not saying everybody is going to get born again. But first, there must be so much spread of the word so that if you did not get saved, it will be that you refuse to. Not because you did not hear it. Are you following me? Secondly, it's going to produce a massive, massive salvation. And massive discipleship. The third thing it means, for instance, for a seed to be taken, is that because of the word of God that was spread, and because of the many persons that will get saved, and will submit themselves to discipleship, you see, there will be a change in the moral climate of the city. Are you following me? There will be a change, a major shift in the moral climate of the city. Because when people are born again, and people are growing, it's going to affect their lifestyle. You get into a city, or a street, or an area, and what is prevailing there is every young girl there is doing prostitution, or every young girl there is doing hookup. What that place means, that city needs to be taken. The taking of that city first means that the word will be preached so much in that city, everybody will hear it, many will believe, many will begin to grow, and it will cause a major shift in the moral climate of that city. So that it will begin to go down. You come into a place, maybe some areas, you know there's some areas you get to. Everybody there is a drug addict. You are either smoking willingly or unwillingly. Either you smoke it by yourself or they smoke it and put it into your nose. Have you got that kind of environment? Now, that kind of place, the word of God prevailing there or taking that city would mean that we preach so much that many will get saved, and it will cause a dramatic shift in their morality. And I can tell you, I've seen this happen in so many places. And I'll tell you some stories today. Amen? We've seen this happen in a school. Some of you are here today because it happened in your school. When this kind of thing happens in a school, for instance, I've seen it happen in secondary schools a lot. You notice that even though everybody will not be saved, everybody will tend to be religious at least. I get to the point. It's not like everybody's not born again. But then people that are born again are now too much. So it looks like the in thing to do is to be saved. So even when you are sinning, you are hiding. That's taking the city. Who's following me at all? Have you seen this kind of thing happen anywhere? I've seen it happen. I've done it by using God's ability actually in two different secondary schools. The first time, there was a particular secondary school, the first time that happened in the school, it became so strong that on a particular day, it looked like almost everybody in the school were praying. There was no prayer meeting. If you get into every single classroom, people are gathering in 10s, 15, 20, 5, 7, praying all over the place. It looked like the right thing to do was to be born again. That seizing the land. Are you following me, guys? Where there is so much spread of God's word, many people getting saved, many getting trained, that it shifts the moral climate of the city. It is all right that you get into a land and it is known for drunkenness. I was to preach somewhere in a village and the Lord opened my eyes and I saw this. These guys drink for a living. And the Lord said, how you will know once you enter the land, the place they'll ask, tell you welcome to the land. He said, you know, that means I'm going to say in this series that may shock, that may open your eyes to some things. He said, when you get to the land, he said, you will see, the first thing you will notice, the first business at the gate of that land is a beer parlor. He said, you will see it. Are you getting me? Now, I don't know whether the guy that established did it deliberately, but you know, Satan takes advantage of every small thing. And by the time we got into the land, these guys drink for a living. Through and through. Everybody. You get into a land, children of 8 years. Children of 8 years already drinking. You see, and some of these are not normal. By the time the city is seized by the power of God, it will shift that thing. It will. I'll give you another example. I've gotten to a place, there's a community we went to. There was no family, and I'm not missing words, unless I did not enter the family. No family I entered that did not have at least one girl that has given birth in her father's house. It was a strange spirit. I'll address this next week. There are spirits that govern cities. How many of you know this thing I'm saying? Please forget all this. I'm going to show you some things from the word of God and from experience. It's not time to start saying the Greek word. Listen carefully. There are spirits that govern cities. There are spirits that govern schools. There are schools, universities you get into. You notice that even if you get into this place behaving in a certain way, before you are done, you're already acting in a certain way. Things don't just happen like that. Many things are not coincidences. Many things are not. So, but when the city is seized, it will shift the moral climate of that city. Are you getting the point? Now, when I was in school, I don't know why this was supposed to be next week, but let me just talk about it a little today. When I was in school, you know, my school was, by the time we came in, the first thing we met when we came in was cultism. It was normal. Everybody was a cultist. And it was so popular to be a cultist. I'm talking about the day they write the final exam. Every cult will come to the exam in their color. Are you getting me? Every different cult will come to the school, to come to the exam in their color, and all of them, after the exam, they'll be doing their procession with their color in the school compound. Have you ever witnessed that kind of thing? I pray you don't witness it. You see shootings, you see a lot of things. Right in school, nothing goes wrong, nothing, it was normal. So it's when they meet you, it's not, are you in a cult, it is which family do you belong to? And those things are not normal. So in my first year, there was a change in leadership of the school, VC and all that. And the man thought of cleaning up the mess, but it was very difficult. So he involved the Christian body of the school. Are you getting me? I'm telling you a real life story. Some of you know this story. I'm in Enugu State now. He involved the Christian body of the school, and then they did a program. That program was where they were challenging people. The idea is, let go of your weapon. Surrender. We will not arrest you. Of course, some people did. I'm not joking. Over 300 persons. But that was still small compared to the things happening in the school as at then. After that, they did a very massive meeting. I'm going to say some things to you from next week. Because some of the things happening where you are, in that some cities need to be taken by the power of God. Like Enugu now, we have to seize this land. You come into some communities, it is violence. Have you seen that kind of place? They kill people today, kill people tomorrow. Some of you need to go there. We're talking about where we now spread the word so much, it arrests the city. And like I said, it will change the morality of that town. It will. So when we began to pray in that first year, people began to turn in that. They did a very massive. Of course, after the whole thing, the school followed it up with, after we finished our own prayer, they followed it up with corresponding action. Brought police and soldiers. If they point to you, you are gone. They were packing people like sardine. I'm telling you. People were on the run. But it wasn't just what I was doing in the physical. You get the point? And when I was not just being president, something else began to rain in this. I don't know what I was doing in the school, but I stopped it before I left. Okay, they will throw, let me tell you, I can't get into a place and not change what is happening there. And that is all you must be thinking. I think I'm too important. I can't enter a place and nothing will change. Ask me why. If a witch enters your hostel, you will know. Is that not true? I say, if I come, you must know. So that day, they did one bonfire night in the school. And it was crazy. I think some of you were still in school by then. Some of you that are here from my school. The SUG connived with the soldiers. They were forcing people to the party. Flogging people from the hostel. Emptying the hostel. It was very crazy. And the next morning, there were a lot of stuff. People were raped. A lot of things happened in school that day. I wasn't around. They called me. Saturday night. I got up around 3 a.m. I left my house by 2-6 in the morning. I ran back to school. Observed the whole thing. First thing I did was, I set up a prayer walk. I'll talk about this next week. Are you following me? I set up a prayer walk. We did a prayer. Who attended any of those prayer walks that we did finish with them? I set up a prayer walk. We walked around the school. In tongues. Amen? Next week I'll touch all this. After we did all of that, the next day, I went to the VC's office. Amen. I couldn't see him. I saw the DVC. I saw the DVC. Look at what we came with. Look at what happened in the school. He said, what do you want? I said, fine. I want partying to be banned inside the school. He signed it. Are you following me? Let me say this to you here. That's the corresponding action that we took. But I'm trying to say, when a city is taken, many people in school don't know this story I told you. They don't know that's why they cannot have party inside the school. But this is the story behind it. Say amen. Uh-huh. So the thing is this. You must know that when a city is taken, the word of God will grow. People will get saved. But even people that did not get saved, things will happen. That will shift the moral climate. I'm careful with the word climate. You know, it gets some places. Some places, sexual immorality is the climate of the land. It is normal. Some lodges are like that. Do you live in such lodges? I'm telling you, it is very normal. Everybody, I lived in a lodge like that in my first year. I don't know how God put me in all these kind of places. It was very normal to be stupid. They party every Friday night. And I'm not missing what. From the time I entered that lodge till I left, we were partying every Friday night. And there is only something to celebrate. Either somebody's birthday. It got to a point where there was nobody to do birthday. If another lodge, somebody from another lodge is celebrating birthday, they'll come and hold it inside our lodge. It was that normal. And I don't believe that things are normal. Okay? I'm a territorial commander. That's how I see myself. I was not even a pastor. Not me. You see, I'm a force. And you must begin to see yourself that way. When you get into a place, you do not just come in. Please follow me this morning. You are a force on your own. So I came in there. I was not anything. I was just a first year boy that entered the lodge. Everybody was partying Friday to Friday. And it was a crazy thing. One of those days, the day I got very angry was, they were partying. I was coming out from my room that night. And I saw two boys, a boy and a girl, in front of my, I didn't know when I said, Will you get out of this place? And I have chill now. I didn't have chill that I thought. They have 1% chill. I don't know who they thought shouted at them. The way they ran. Maybe they thought it was an angel. Will you get out of this place? They ran. I didn't know who they were. So, when all those things happened, the lodge was, it was normal to be stupid. There's a particular girl I can't forget, a lady, not even a girl, she's a lady, because she was married in our lodge then in first year. And she was a believer, attending, I don't want to mention the name of the church, you know, a good church. She prays every night. You hear her voice, you know. Now, she didn't do anything, right, bad. But the climate of the land affected her so much that a guy, you know, these things where a guy will bring a girl to the lodge, you know, and after that, yeah, they were even loud about whatever they were doing inside. That was the kind of lodge I'm talking about. So after they finished that, they came out, and the girl, the believer girl, it was not so normal. So she was hailing the boy. It's a bad guy. He was hailing him. The girl was like, I couldn't stand it. The whole thing, she wasn't a bad person. I get it, but she didn't do anything. But it has become so normal. Are you getting the point? It has become so normal for stupid things to happen. So it was after all those, I said, I'm going to do something. I'll tell you more what I did maybe next week. But one of them was, praise God. So I did my matric, okay, and my people came for my matric, like, you know, my fellow mad people, some of them my sons, my friends. So I pleaded with them to pass the night in my place. There was a crowd, not 5, not 6, up to 10 people. So we all squatted in that room. 11 o'clock, I was saying, let us pray. Anyway, now I've calmed down now. I said, let us pray. And we started praying. We opened all the windows, all the doors. It was deliberate. And thank God there was no lights. Everyone was calm. So we began to pray. It was that dramatic. We came out. I was praying. I'm not missing words. Door to door. Rico Baratakara. I've calmed down. But you know, you might think I don't have sense. But I was desperate for something. And I got it. I'll tell you the story. I knew it was going to cause trouble. And that's actually what I wanted. I wanted us to call a meeting. Do you understand the point? So I did it. I finished it. After that, around 2, I went to sleep. So the next day, they called meeting. So they called meeting. Now, they couldn't talk to me direct. So they want to say that this is a student's lodge. And we all are students in this place. I was just quiet. I was operating my phone. Talking, you know, because, you know, and everybody have different things they do. All of us go to church. Do you understand? So after the whole thing, and I raised up my hand, I said, well, I know you guys are talking because of what happened yesterday. Right? But then, I don't know why it's a problem for you guys, because every Friday night, we all blow music in this place from morning till night, from night till morning. Throwing parties, and we don't complain. You get the point? They say, maybe they now put some other issues. I said, I have one more thing to say. We have to start a weekly fellowship. I started a fellowship in that lodge before I left. Since there's a weekly party. I get the point. Now, I left there after that first year, but we readjusted things. I can tell you, before I left that place, I was already discipling like 4 people in the lodge, not getting but again discipline, thorough discipleship. Are you following the point? No, 5 of them actually. Now I'm saying this because when we're talking about taking the seat, we're not saying everybody's gonna get saved, but there will be a spread of the word so much that it will shift how things go on in the city. It's not necessarily about being a politician or occupying place of authority. Right? But it can be part of it. But it's not necessarily that. You can take your seat. You can take your workplace. You can take your school. You can. And I'll show you how. Are you following me? You can. It's not only about occupying position, but it can be that too. Because we have a story, for instance, a man like Daniel, who got into Babylon and became a leader, a prime minister, sort of. And the Lord used him, used that position to take that land. Are you following me? I'll touch that maybe next week or next 2 weeks. I can show you, you know, because you can get into a place, a secular place, and the Lord used to take the land. But then, before we get to that, I'd like you to know that what I'm sharing with you this morning is not just what I think. It's not just what I want you to do. This is God's biggest vision. This is God's biggest agenda. And I'll show you from the word of God. If you meet God now and ask him, what do you want to do? What exactly do you want to achieve? He will tell you, I want to take cities. What, or in a simple, another way, I want the salvation of many. People think when they begin to pray, God, what do you want to do in Enugu State? You don't have to pray, look for so long. Right? We need the salvation of men. That's what God will tell you. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 1. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. With the King James first, he said, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So it talks about the purpose. But let me start that with New Living Translation. NLT. He says, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this, not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan. That was what? He said that was his plan from before the beginning of time. What is that plan? To show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And he has now made all of this plain by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the world to life, of life, or to life and immortality through the good news. So what God wanted to do, his plan from before the beginning of time, was to show forth his grace through Jesus Christ. That's what God wants to do. So you ask God, what do you want to do in Afghanistan? The same thing. What do you want to do in Asia? The same thing. What do you want to do in Kenya? The same thing. What do you want to do in Nigeria? The same thing. What do you want to do in Spain? The same thing. What do you want to do in Enugu? The same thing. He wants every city seized. That's what God wants to do. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, I show you again, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. I read the New Living Translation again. He said, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Verse 10. Are you in your Bible? Let's read together verse 10. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom, its rich variety, to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Verse 11. This was his eternal plan carried out through Jesus Christ. So what God wants to do, his eternal plan, his forever plan, is to make sure that there is a display of the power and the superiority of Jesus and the gospel to spiritual forces and to in every land where we find ourselves. That's what God wants to do. So if you're looking for what God wants to do, it's not far. And so when I'm talking about taking a city and all that, it's not just what we are making up in our head. It is God's greatest vision. So if you want to do what God wants you to do, you will listen to me this month. I tell you for free. If you want to do this, I want to do what God wants me to do. Father, show me. I'm showing you. He wants you to step in and be involved in taking your city for him. To be involved in doing that. I'll show you some Old Testament text in Isaiah chapter 2. I'll read it with the King James, maybe. We'll start with that. In Isaiah chapter 2, I read verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. He said that the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Are you following? Are you in your Bible? It shall come to pass in the last days. What will happen? That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. That's what God wants to do. It shall come to pass, I read it again, that the mountain of the Lord's house, that's what God wants to do, shall be established in the top of the mountains. So there are mountains. But in the mountain of the Lord's house, God's vision is that his mountain will be established on top of every other mountain. That is prominence. That's a prevail. Are you following me? That's a prevail. You see, and shall be extended above the hills, and all the nations, what will happen? All the nations shall flow into it. So what does God want to do in Enugu? He wants to bring us to a point where the mouth of the Lord shall be extended above every other mountain, and then every nation, everybody is flowing to it. Glory to God. Verse 3. And many people shall say, shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This is what God will do in our land. We have come to a point where many people will say, let us go. Are you following me? And notice, I like teaching from this place. He said, many shall say, let us go to the house of, mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. So that what will happen? He will teach us his ways. So it's not something about people gathering to church or coming to church because they want miracles. Are you following me? Or because they want prophecies. This is a point where there is so much confusion in people, in the heart of men, that all of them will say, let us go and learn the ways of God. And that time will come in this land. That's what it means for a city to be taken. That's what it means for a land to be seized by the power of God. Hallelujah. Let us go. Let us go. He will show us his ways. We will learn his ways. Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1. Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1. You read this all the time, but then today I'm just going to explain it better. Isaiah 4 verse 1. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. I just knew you were going to react to that. You will never miss that. Seven women shall take hold of how many men? What will they say? We will eat our own bread. We will wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. Just marry us. Now we go pay our bride price. We'll provide food for ourselves. And I feel the men saying, I'm ready, Lord. Glory to God. But what is he really trying to say? Let's see the next verse. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Verse 3. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, he that remains in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Verse 4. When the Lord shall have washed away the field of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Verse 5. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud, a smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. There shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. So he's not talking about marriage, actually. He's talking about a time when it says the branch of the Lord. When you talk about the branch of the Lord, it's talking about Christ. Where the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. Put up like, go to verse 1. Let's see NLT. NLT said, in that day, so few men will be left that several men will fight for each man. Say, let us all marry you. We will provide our own food and clothing. Only let us take your name so we won't be mocked as old maids. But in that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. The fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of all who survive in Israel. All who remain in Zion will be a holy people. We are coming to this point. Amen. We all who remain in this land will be called holy. And those who survive the throne of Jerusalem are recorded among the living. The Lord will wash the field from beautiful Zion and cleanse Jerusalem of its bloodstains with the hot breath of fiery judgment. Then the Lord will provide shade for Mount Zion and all who are assembled there. He will provide a canopy of cloud during the day and a smoke of flaming fire at night. I said, covering the glorious land. I'm looking forward to a time in this land. Amen. When there will be that spread. So when he's talking about seven women clinging to one man, he's talking about where people get so interested and attracted by you and what you carry that seven of them will be pressing in. Give us the word. Are you following me? We want to do what you are doing. We want to follow it to where you are going to. Seven of them to one person. and we'll see it happen. That's what we mean by it's been taken. So, you see, this is what God wants to do. The vision and the plan of God is that this land will be seized. I tell you. And so if you ever want to participate in what God is doing, it's not actually about, you know, trying to, people think that what God wants to do is to give us good leaders. Amen. God wants us to have good leaders, but the job of electing good leaders is in the hands of the electorate. I hope you know this thing. It's not God. Say amen. God may have plans, but you cannot, you know, I've seen this last Sunday, you can alter it by your vote. What God really wants to do in the land. And the good thing about this is the same thing he wants to do in the US. Same thing he wants to do in Spain. Same thing in the village. Same thing in the big city. God also have actually different plans for different cities. He's a consistent God. What he wants for Spain. Why am I talking about Spain today? He wants for Japan. What he wants for Japan, he wants for Nigeria. What he wants for Victoria Island, he wants for that village. Wherever. The salvation of men. The seizing of the city. The taking of the land. That men will come to the knowledge of the truth. That the eyes of the understanding be enlightened. That they may see what God has done for them in Christ. That's what God wants to do. And that's God's vision. And I want to challenge you this one. That's all I want to do this morning. To decide to align yourself to this. And I can tell you for free that it is actually possible to take a city. It's not just what we say. It is what we've seen first in the word of God. I showed you Acts 19, for instance, and verse 10. Where we read when we were starting. Where the Bible said that everybody in that city heard the word of God. That land was taken. Everybody in that city heard God's word. That's the taking of the land. In verse 20, it tells us that so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And this was talking about Asia. The whole of Asia as a continent. Paul did so much and his guys in 2 years that everybody in Asia as a continent, if Asia can be taken in 2 years, a state can be taken in 1 month. I can tell you for free. And I'll show you how. Everybody heard the word. So mightily the word grew. And the word prevailed. Amen. I said we will take this land. We will. So mightily grew the word and prevailed. In Acts chapter 6 verse 7, we read about how the believers in Jerusalem increased. So Jerusalem was taken. The number of disciples multiplied. I like the word multiply. Multiply. You know that is addition, that is multiplication. It multiplied. It was increasing every day. In 1 day, in Acts 2, 3,000. 1 day, 5,000. By Acts 6, they couldn't count the number again. They just had to say they were multiplying. Are you following me, guys? The word of God increased so much. And it is possible that this will happen in your school. It is possible that this will happen in your workplace. It is possible that it will happen in your environment. It is actually possible. And this should be the vision in your heart. You know, I always tell my friends, you know, the general law. But I tell my friends that want to do youth service. I say, if you want to do youth service, one of the places that it will be good to serve will be in a secondary school. And that's not just because you love teaching. That's because you can use that 1 month, if you're interested, to do a lot. I get to the point. One of our people is serving in a secondary school currently. And she called me and was telling me of how they got into the school. I was actually no fellowship there. Nothing was going on there. She started a fellowship there, attended by teachers, attended by, it is the major thing happening in the school. Are you getting me? Currently happening. People getting saved, the sick getting healed. Mighty, mighty move of God. That's how to use your service here. God wants this land taken. God wants every city taken. You know, if you want to go for service, the only thing I'm thinking about is, where would they pay me? The question actually is, how much do they pay? Two of these places, they pay you 2,000. Is it not true? True life story. I'm not exaggerating. Some 3,000. So they pay you 3,000 from federal government and the school pay you 3,000. Don't you know it is? Is it not true? Some 5,000, some 7,000. The highest I've seen is 10. That's a miracle. There is more. Are you following me, guys? There is more. There is more you can do with that time. This city can be seized by the power of God. So the whole of Asia heard the word of God. The whole of Jerusalem heard the word of God. In Daniel chapter 6, we see how Daniel, we look at some of these stories more but later, not today. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 25, Bible said, of course, what happened there was after, you know, they wanted to kill Daniel, they put him in the lion's den, by the workings of God, I will show you, by the workings of God, he came out on horse. And in verse 25, the king, Darius, wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth. He said, he wrote to everybody. Because as at then, Babylon was like world power. This is what we call, in fact, Daniel took the world. Look at that. He wrote to all of them. Look at what he told them. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every domain of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivered and rescued, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. A king made this decree. That is what it means to take a city. And that's actually possible. Daniel did it in the Old Testament. Are you following me, guys? We'll look at all these things much critical later. Daniel did it. It can happen in your time. It can happen in your city. Are you following me? It can happen in your season. We read about Elijah. After he had that, you know, many of us are just concerned about the conquest of, you know, Elijah, how he called down fire from heaven and then fire devoured the sacrifice. But that thing produced something. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38, look at what happened. The Bible said, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the doors and licked up the water that was in the trench. What happened in verse 39? Let's read together. Verse 39, are you in your Bible? Stop. Are you in your Bible? Open it. I've told you, don't ever, if you are in church, open your Bible. Whether it's showing on the screen or I'm reading for my own, open your Bible. Amen. In one of these months, you're going to do 1 month of hard copy Bible. I'm telling you for free. Begin to get sex. Well, some of you don't even know how to open Bible again. Where is 1 Kings? Before Romans, ba? Are you there now? So verse 13, let's read together. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord. That's what Elijah did. That's what Elijah did in Jerusalem or in Israel. As at this time, people were already worshipping Baal and doing all of that. And then he woke up one day, made that move. And then the whole land was shouting, the Lord is God. You know another example I can show you, for instance, of a man that took a city? Is Jonah. You know Jonah? Jonah preached a single message in Nineveh. One message. One message. And the king gave a decree that everybody in the land should fast, including animals. One message. Are you getting the guy? One message. Before you say he ran away from the call, he didn't answer the call. Well, he had a bad heart. But he answered it all the same. I get to the point. One message shook up the entire city. 3 days fast, everybody in the land. And see, we can have some of these things in our days. Oh. We can. 3 days. One message. That's what it means to take a land. And like I can go on and on to show you. You know, sometimes a guy shared with us a story of a man called Jeremiah Lamphere. Do you remember that story? Jeremiah Lamphere was a young man that started off a mighty, mighty revival in 1858. Not too long. Amen? 1858. They had so much Massive, massive move. It was in the United States, such that in 1 year, and this is something to check, in 1 year, right, out of what 30 million people who were in the United States as at then, he got saved 1 million. 1 million turned to Christ. Now, that's a lot. Calculate the percentage. What's the percentage? Huh? You better check it. If you just say it, I'll mention your name. I don't want to say it. 1 million out of 30 million, what percentage is that? Huh? Huh? If you want to say it, I'll give you a mic. He says what? Huh? 3 points. Now, the minister is saying this. I... But that's powerful to affect the fact that about 3% of an entire city got saved by one man's move. I get to the point. About 1 million people in 1 year. In 1 year. And that's what it, of that particular move, I'll tell you what it is. That particular move shook up America in a very interesting way. It shook up the religious climate of the city. I told you guys about James McQuilkin, who also, in fact, he heard the story of what Jeremiah Lamphere did. He was in Ireland, and he started his own too. And he had, you know, in fact, many people were, in his own was more dramatic, that it got to a point in Ireland, it was recorded by, as officially documented, that the judge had no one to try. The police had no criminal to arrest. The prisons were empty. It's not that everybody got saved. I get to the point. But they have shaken up the climate of that city. That you are either born again or you are acting like one. I get to the point. You know, you are either born again or, because the popular thing to do was to be born again. So either you are born again or you are... It's so possible. You get into a land that is well known for crime. Every time somebody is killing somebody is... Those kind of things, I'll talk to you next week or next 2 weeks about some of these things people argue about. There are territorial demons in a city. And I was speaking to you how to take them. This is an unnormal. Because everybody just doing violence, everybody just killing people. And it is a bad spirit that has been cast over Nigeria. I get to the point. A couple of years back, it was strange to hear, but the first time we heard bomb blast. I get to the point. But right now, we hear it, I will be like, it has happened again. A train abducted. That one kidnapped. It's not a normal thing. And it keeps spreading. It's demonic spell. And that's why the church needs to rise and seize the land again. I'll show you some things next week. Because one of them is prayer, but not now. Look at that next week. The church needs to seize the land again. And have a mighty, mighty influence on the world. Because I tell you, the police cannot control this. Even if the government is going to make a move to stop it, whatever move they're going to make will be influenced from the place of prayer. I can tell you for free. Because it's spreading. Do you observe? It will not get to you, but it's spreading. All over the place. The other day, a runway was attacked. In an airport. The other day, the railway was attacked. It continues like that. It's now normal to come into church and throw bomb. It's normal to get to a school and abduct everybody. And we are speaking English. I get the point. We are speaking English. The prelate of Methodist Church, you heard right? Last week, abducted. They paid $100 million to get him out. Are you following me? It's an evil spell. And if different cities don't begin to rise and challenge this thing in the land, we are going to sell our land to Satan. But it will not happen. Because one of the things that will influence it will be the mighty preaching of God's word. If someone is saved, he will not kidnap people. Don't you think so? I tell you, if people are saved, they will not bomb anywhere. At least saved men, Holy Ghost will be talking to them. Say, you know you are born again. You know you have the love of God in you. We must affect the climate of the land. And so we read about that man, Jesse McQuicken, how he shook up Ireland. And I can tell you about some more people. Have you heard of Evan Roberts? Evan Roberts is one of the greatest revivalists. Read about him. And I like talking about him because he was a young man. When I mean young man, he was in his early 20s. And God used him to cause a massive change in Wales. Just browse about Evan Roberts and the Welsh revival. It's all over the place. The guy did so much. If I somebody, let me read out something for you. One of the documentaries about that revival. He said, the revival meetings, you are extraordinary. Some people will be crying for joy. Others crying for sorrow over their sin. Several people will be praying at the same time for friends, parents, or children. Some will be singing. Others telling people about the joy they now experience. The chapel, we are filled to capacity, and there were crowds of people on the roadside. Yet there was no disorder in the meetings. They lasted until 2, 3, or 4 in the morning. So that men coming off the night shift in the colliery met the people coming out of the meetings. It was that powerful. The presence of the Holy Spirit in a meeting did not depend on Evan Roberts being there. You know, the Holy Spirit descended even in places where where the guy did not visit. The revival spread like wildfire from place to place all over the country where people had been praying that such a thing would happen. Now see, the effect of that revival on Wales was that thousands of people were saved. Public houses became almost empty. Men and women who used to waste their money in getting drunk were now saving it and giving it to the church. They were using their money to buy clothes and food for their families. Stealing and other offenses became less and less. Often a magistrate came to court and found that there was no case for him to try. The miners put in a better day's work, but the pit ponies could not understand what had happened to the miners as they spoke to them more kindly. They were so used to being sworn at that they became disobedient. People who had been careless about paying their pin back money they had borrowed, gave back all they owed. People who had quarreled forgave each other and were reconciled. Society was changed and Wales became a God-fearing nation. That is the impact of revival. That's what it means to take a land. I get to the point. And so when people tell you, the reason the country is bad is because, people are bad. And people are bad because there is no Jesus in their hearts. I get to the point. When we spread the word of God so much, it's going to have an effect on this city. I can talk about men. Hear about John Knox. John Knox of Scotland. We'll talk about him more next week. John Knox was a guy that arrested the spiritual climate of Scotland with that popular prayer. Give me Scotland or I die. That's desperation. Are you following me, guys? That's desperation. Give me this land or I die. That wasn't a prayer of rebellion. That was saying to God, see, I need this thing bad, bad. What you would rather pray is, Father, give me money or I die. If you don't give me money, I will not serve you again. I'm giving you 2 months. God, you have 2 months to give me money. If I don't blow, I'll do what my friends are doing. Another man was crying, give me this land. I die. If we don't shift the things happening in this land, then let me die. That's the heart. Are you following me? That was John Knox. I read about some guys that have been to, some that attended LMP. I was talking to you about one guy, Sokari Braid, who had so much impact in Delta State. He had so much impact. In fact, the story of that revival was so much by this man that the major way the British were, I was telling you that LMP, the major way they were making their money from Nigeria then was through the importation of liquor, alcohol and all that. So the guy came with a strong force and move of God's spirit that the sales of alcohol dropped drastically, that the British guys arrested him and put him in prison. I get what I'm talking about. Framed something against him, put him in prison, and he died there. I'm trying to tell you that, you see, you can affect, it was so bad, they got angry. Same thing they did to Peter then. When they began to shake up things in the land, they arrested them. Same thing they did to James. They arrested him. They cut off his head. And so you can have so much impact in the land. And when I'm talking about this, I want you to go beyond looking at Enugu State. Look at your street. Why are you preaching this kind of message on a Sunday morning? It's because everybody must be involved in what we are talking about. It's not about becoming a pastor. It's not about being a minister. It's about allowing what is in the heart of God to be your own heart too. Are you following me? It's about allowing what bothers God to bother you too. It's not about making a name for yourself. It's about allowing what is, let me use the word, what is paining God to pain you too. That the burden that is in the heart of God becomes the same burden in your own heart. That as God wants this land saved, I want the same land saved. That's what we're talking about. And all of us have a role to play. Because I wanted to show you something. And that's why I'm going to close. You see here, you cannot, no single person, that's one secret about taking land, lands that we've not taught well. I want to talk about taking cities, we hear about Kitinkuman, John Knox. One thing they didn't tell you is this. No single human being can take any city. Nobody. The taking of a city does not happen by one man. Are you following me? Just guys, and not forget it. I'm going to explain it. The taking of a city cannot happen by one man. No one man, it's just that sometimes, you know, where God does his things is, he starts off with a person. So most times the person is the person at the forefront, we're talking about him. But for any city to be captured thoroughly, it needs the efforts of many. Pioneered by one, but the efforts of many. So what even me cannot take Enugu State. Are you following me, guys? One person cannot. But somebody say, how are you telling us this? If one takes it, you can't take the city now. Not one person can. No one person can. Every revival, every story I've showed you in the Bible, it took more than one person's effort. For instance, I showed you Acts 19. Right? Acts 19, verse 10. Where the Bible said that the word of God spread and all that. What I actually did not show you is from verse 8. So let's see Acts 19 from verse 8. Are you there? Are you in Acts 19 verse 8? I'll just wait for you a little. You should be very fast in opening your Bible. Did you do draw your sword? Did you do it? Do you even know what it means? What else? Draw your sword, oh yeah? Ephesians 2 verse 10. I won that thing. I never lost. God knew I was going to serve him, so. Are you in Acts 19 verse 8? He says, and he went into the synagogue. This was Paul. So Paul came into the city. That's why I tell you, one person can start it. But see, he went to the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months. So for 3 months, only Paul was preaching, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were added, so some people did not believe. They began to speak evil of the way before the multitude. What did he do? He departed from them and separated. So the people that have believed what he was saying, he separated them and took them to the school of one Tyrannus and was teaching them every day. It turns out verse 10 now said, this continued. What's continued? Him teaching them for 2 years. This continued for the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of God. So it was separating those guys and teaching them for the 2 years that produced the spread of the word like that. You understand what I'm saying? So it wasn't like Paul was going all over the place. It was the fact that he preached in a place, gathered men, disputed with them for 2 years, the city was taken. It takes more than the effort of one man to take a city. And that should even help you cure your heart of pride. You think, I just want to be the one taking this land. No one person takes a land. Are you getting me? One person can start it off. No one person can do it. What God wants to do is bigger than anybody. Are you following me? It's bigger than you. It's bigger than Pastor Henry. It's bigger than any bishop. It's bigger than any papa. It's bigger than anybody. What God wants to do is just that he will have one person set the ball rolling. That's how God does his things. And then many. So it takes more than one person to take a city. Actually, no one person can. In Acts chapter 6, for instance, that we read, verse 7, the Bible tells us that there was a spread of the word. But you see, before there was a spread of the word, before the word of God increased, and all that. In verse 6, Bible says, this whom they said before the apostles, they got deacons, ordained the deacons, set them before the apostles, they laid hands on them. What happened? The word of God increased. So it was when the apostles got other men on board that I was the spread of the word. Are you following me? It takes more than the efforts of one man to get a city, to take a city. So I'm saying this to say that for our city to be taken, and that's why I'm doing this teaching this morning, we all have a role to play. Everybody. It's not something a pastor can do alone. It's not only the ministers can do. It takes the effort of all and many to do any God-given assignment. God wants school to be taken. If someone has started the move, join the move. If no one has started the move, start the move. Take the land. That's the important thing. Are you following me, guys? God wants our land to be taken. God wants our community to be seized by the power of God. And you can. Are you getting the point? I was with one of my sons within this week. And last week, I was telling me some very exciting stories of the things happening in his community, how he was planning meetings. And I love the things he was saying. How he would put up meetings and then cultists will flock into the meeting. It's not a program. It's not like a church. They did not start a church. He would just go and he was preaching to people and then told them to just come. They gathered in a school and he was just talking. Cultists will flock into the meeting. One of those occasions, one of the cultists ran away in the midst of the meeting. And then his friend met him and was like, why did you leave the meeting like that? He said, you know, the power that was in me was going out. So I said, come before you can push him in. You laugh, sorry. I get it. A particular community, I don't want to mention about the community, we visited 2013. I was the only one that went there. It was one of my sons and then Apostle Jude that will be with us during Start the Fire. Amen. So they were there with a mission team. There were three. Abi? Three, yeah. So they were doing massive, massive work there. It's a land that is well known for idolatry. That was the first village I went to. And they were selling charm in an open market. Are you getting me? You can come into the shop. It's in Kego, 1,000. This one is more powerful than this. If you buy this one, I'm telling you a real life story. I don't want to mention them of the city, so I will not embarrass them and all that. They were out there, so they did a 3 days program. So they invited me to come while in the land. And that night, you know, that experience was amazing. In the land, every single young girl, when they give birth to you, they initiate you to whatever. Every single young girl. So it wasn't the case of that our people possessed here. All of them were possessed. Every single young girl. So I've never seen, as I got into the place, everyone was seated because they had done a massive work there. So it looked like the whole use of the land gathered. Of course, they said a lot about Pastor Henry is coming and all that. So that night, that is power, Sha. I'll talk about the power of God next week or next 2 weeks. Because you need it to take a city. Taking a city is not English. It's not grammar. It's not deep tongue. Or deep, what's that? Deep tongue. Yeah, that's not it. It's not grammar that takes city. There is grammar, but the grammar must be spoken from a place of power. So we got there that day. The very first night of the meeting, Friday. I just came in, did a very simple message. I didn't come there to preach. We came there to arrest satanic forces. See, then I lifted, this is my voice, you know my voice now. Just one song, the whole place tore into seven. Now, I've never seen that kind of move before. There was strong satanic presence in the land and over the people there that when I started singing, they could no longer sit there. So, when I mentor, I'm not speaking exaggerating or anything. The people began to run. The kids were running from the door, jumping window, running. More than 20 people were on the run all over the place. So I said, what's happening? I said, pursue them, catch them. I'm telling you. So they were dragging people in. We had massive, that's what we tell you. There's nothing like casting out devils. It's a lie, you. There is casting out devils. We had massive exorcism that night. Karen people driving out devils from over 100 ladies. In that night, so I made a call. If you know you're a guy here and you have gone to whatever native doctor to get a charm on your body or you have it here, come out. Young men trooped out too. I'm getting what I'm saying. You see, you can, that was the climate of the land. Idolatry. In the land, everybody had their personal God they worship. Small boy getting to 12 years, 30 years, already has his own God he has bought, he's worshiping. And Jesus arrested that land. Are you following me? But it didn't happen just because I went there. These guys, by the time I left, they started much more. No one person can. So when they were leaving the land, they set up a prayer team there, and the war continued. But it's not something that happens in one, it's not about crusade. I get it, but it's not about crusade. It's about constant imposing of God's word on the land that it will prevail. God's word and his power. That I've never seen that kind of exorcism in my life before. Young girls. Was that the thing I began to ask what happened? What's happening in this land? They began to talk. How every they give it to a child, they take the child, they get it to everybody. I get to the point. And then I remember there was a particular, there's this case I normally just think about one deliverance thing we did one certain time. Do you remember? Around 2008 or so, 2008, I remember that girl was from that community. I get to the point. And so this girl I'm talking about is from that community. She has never been there. She stays in Abuja. But that force was still following her. Lands need to be taken for Jesus. And no one person can do it. Your school, your street, that's why we do sell. So you can begin to see your streets as somewhere that can be seized for Jesus. Not just a dwelling place for you. And if this is not yet burning in your heart, you don't yet know the vision of Jesus. You don't yet know what bothers him. You think all Jesus wants you to do is to wear fine clothes and come and sit down in church. There is more. Are you following me? I say this as we begin to close. In every big vision of God, it takes more than one person. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 3, we read about how Nehemiah, we used that to teach you something, how Nehemiah made the move to repair the house of God. All we know, if they tell you the story, is that Nehemiah repaired the house of God. But it was not actually so. We would have read that chapter, if you have time, go home, read that chapter from verse 1 to the end. But you will begin to see, in verse 1, it tells us that Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the sheep gate, sanctified it and all that. Go to verse 3. So you see who built the sheep gate? This guy and the high priest. The fish gate, the resource of Hasena built, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors of the lock. Go to verse 6. It took different families to do different things. I get the point. In verse 6, moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Persia, and Meshulam, son of Besoda, different people. Go to verse 8. Different categories. He said, next unto him repaired Uziel, the son of... So if you get all the way, you see different families, different clans, different people repairing different gates. That's how a city is taken. That's how a city is rebuilt. That's how a city is repaired. Not one person does it. And I came to announce to you that you have a part in what God wants to do. You have a part. That's why I did that song when I came on the stage. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. As the prophet said it should be. That is a mighty revelation of the glory of God as the water covers the sea. That's what we are talking about this morning. Well, I said this to you. Everybody is not going to respond to the things I'm sharing this morning. Because this is not what people want to hear, actually. Amen. If this morning was about, give me an example, relationship topic, how to know Mr. Right. People will be like, should I round up? No! Hallelujah. Yeah. So what are you really interested in? Nehemiah left his house, came and left where he was working. They came back, mobilized these guys. Everybody began to build. There is a path in this city for you to build. There is a path, there is a gate. You are the one that will repair. Are you following me, guys? There is a gate. You are the one that must repair. There is a part of the land. You are the one that must take. Nobody will do it for you. Except you don't want to do it, God will raise someone else. It doesn't matter how small you think you are. Or you say, I'm me like this, as I did like this. Take which land? There is. God knows you and gave you something special to do. You may not know it, but it's actually true. And this is where I'm going to close. Because you might think you are not qualified or you're not supposed to do it. The Bible says that one major thing that will characterize the people of God in the last days is that they will be willing. Psalm 110 verse 3. He said, your people shall be willing. So all that God wants are willing hearts. All I want you to do this morning, because we'll say more this month, is to show that you are ready for whatever God wants to do. Because there's actually a path for you. Do you know, I can say this to you all the time. I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. All I told God when I started is, I want, whatever you want me to do, I want to do it. I want to make my own contribution to the increase of this kingdom. There is a land I want to take. And you know, I found out something, guys. There are some people, I don't know why it is like that. There are some people that will never respond until you come. You will learn this later. There are people I will go preach to, and they'll be shaking their head. Once you talk to them, it's like there is something magnetizing you to them. I was doing a meeting many years ago with my people, and somebody had a vision. One of our pastors had a vision. And in that vision, they saw a dead man. They were carrying his coffin. His corpse, rather, in a coffin. And then he saw many people following the dead man and they were crying. In reality, what they were lamenting about was, you were supposed to be the one to come and help us. But you have died. I feel like I'm talking about. I can't forget that vision years ago. You are the one supposed to come and help us. It was through you who are supposed to get light, but you have died. We cried in that meeting. We prayed. Because I can tell you, I don't want to fail my generation. I have a part in taking this city for God. I had a vision. I always said this vision many years ago. I had a vision where, you see, there is something God wants you to do. Where I was sitting down somewhere on a rail, and then people were walking. I've shared this story many times with you. I was just there, all I was doing somewhere, carrying heavy loads. They will come and help them and bring it down, and they will pass. It was a constant procession. Somewhere, cripple, I'll collect the crutches, keep it. So a lot of things were happening on that line. It continued, and it let me see that every one of us has a part in the big thing that God is doing. What you see, the area I'm supposed to, there are people I'm sent to. But that, see this, I'm your pastor. But there are people I am sent to through you. Do you get the point? Yes, I'm sent to them because I'm their pastor. But it is through you that the light will reach them. Because when you hear, I'm sent to this person, it is not me that will go to everybody. The Bible told, God told Moses, he said, come, I will take off your spirit and I will distribute to 70 men. So what is happening is a part of me, a part of my calling and my grace is working in you. Are you getting me? So there are places you have to reach. There are people you have to reach. It mustn't be. So you have a part in what God is doing. whether you agree with this message or not, you either agree with it today or later in your life, you'll remember that I told you this one day. There is more to life than making money. I say this all the time in this church. There is more to life than blowing. You may not know it because you are young, and all that matters to you now. Solomon says, this is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. After every, this is all that matters. And coming from a man like Solomon, with all the wealth he has amassed, I get to the point, with everything, with all the wisdom, he said this, with all the women he married, there is actually more. Like, so you must, there is a part. Many of you know this. Many of you don't even know it at all. Many of you know it, but you've stopped. You're no longer thinking in that direction. There is a part you have to play in God's big vision. This vision of God is big. This one is not platform of grace. I mean, this vision of God to take over the land. Even platform of grace alone cannot do everything that needs to be done in this land. But there is a part God has asked us to do. And I tell you, it's a very big part. And we'll do it. God is raising men in different corners. A friend of mine started a study in church today. When I said, I laughed. He called it unknown God men. You understand? Not unknown God men. Unknown God men. There are people God is raising in different areas. Different areas. Different areas. And you have a part in it. And all Jesus wants from you is a willing heart. Can I say this to you? You will let her know this. The difference between you and I is not because of, it's not because I'm more anything than you. I'm just willing. I'm just yielded. You might come closer to me and you find out that I am not more anything than you actually. Are you getting me, guys? My heart is just open to Jesus. I opened it up to him in my SS2. I've not shut it since then. I'm not talking about being born again. I opened it up to him. Say, Father, I want to walk. I want to do whatever you want me to do. From this school to anywhere. That is my vision. I want to take the land however you want me to do it. And that's all God wants. Thy people shall be willing in the day of your power. This is the day of God's power. And all he wants to do is that you will see one or two persons whose hearts are ready, whose hearts are burning, whose hearts are willing. Actually, I've taught you, when God is looking for people he will use, many of us think that God looks at people's conduct. And that's why some of you are disqualifying yourself. You say, me like this, I know myself. I'm not even cut out for all this church thing. I know how I used to live my life. The Bible says the opposite. The Bible says, man looks at the outside appearance. God looks at the heart. Once your heart is willing, forget the outward, whatever. He will fix that one. Is it not Jesus? He will fix it. He will take you through the process. So, you see, even whatever Satan has told you you are doing or you are, it's not even enough to disqualify you. Jesus will fix those areas. I feel like saying it to somebody. All he wants you to do is, Father, I don't know what you want me to do, but I want you to know that whatever it is, I'm in. Are you following me? Whatever it is, I'm in. I won't leave my street the same I met it. I won't leave my school the same way I met it. I won't leave my... We are losing touch of some basic Christian passions. You know, before I entered school, all I was bothered about was, how am I going to take my school? I didn't know I was going to be anything. When I want to move to a new city, that's my concern. There is more to just sitting in a place, moving into an environment. Jesus has a lot to do. But let me share this thing with you. I've shared it here. I call it divine camouflage. Have you heard it before from me? Divine camouflage. Many of the things that happen on earth is God playing a game. I'll put you in front of my destiny. Don't worry. You are all that matters. Sing it. I've made room for two. Yes. Hey, you are wrong. So what's going to happen at divine camouflage? Where God wants to... I imagine it's drug dealers, for example. If a drug dealer wants to come into Nigeria to supply drugs, when he gets to the airport, he's not going to tell them, so what do you do? I'm going to Nigeria to supply drugs. I'm a drug dealer. They will arrest him and put him in prison. So he's going to camouflage like something, jewelry seller. Do you understand? And then he comes in. Some of them swallow those things, you know, right? Some of them bury it in their tummy. And then they come. On the outside are carrying jewelries. On the inside, the real deal. This is how God operates sometimes. He gives you a job in a city. On the outside, you came there to get job. But there is a bigger assignment on your inside. That's why he took you there. He gives you admission in a school. Because he knows that if you say, I want to enter UNEC to preach, they will not give you admission. So he gives you admission to study engineering or to study law or to study whatever. And then you come in there, you actually study the law. You actually come out with a very good result. But actually, on the inside, there is a bigger assignment. That is the reason God brought me to this town. Do you understand? Some of you don't even know. Some families you are going to marry into are big responsibility that God will put in your hand. You will see this when you get in there. There are ladies that enter a family and change the climate of that family totally. People began to get saved. People that were into drugs in that family, maybe the brothers of the man, all of them are this, that. And they team up and begin to shake up everywhere. Sometimes the vision of God is bigger than what you're seeing on the outside. It's bigger than admission. It's bigger than business. It's bigger than money. It's bigger. That is a big vision of God. But what happens? We get to the city. We forget the main thing. Someone has lied to us. Someone has lied to us. Someone has deceived us. Someone has stolen our passion. Someone has stolen our fervency. So we forget about it. We join every other person to begin to do what they do. We join the people we are sent to do what they do. Come out from among them and be separate. That's what God said. We get to the land. We forget why we got there. We don't join them. And begin to dance what they're dancing. Begin to do what they're doing. Asking, can't I just be this and be this? You are sent to them. Come out. You are sent to them. They now drag you in the game. All of you join. After 4 years or 5 years, you leave that city. You look back. You wish you can have another opportunity. The city will be taken. Are you getting a point? But you have a part to play. And I don't know where you were before you came here. Fervent. Non-fervent. You don't even care about all the church thing. You actually came to church today just because somebody told you to come. But I want a fresh sense of purpose to begin to ring in your head. That is more. If you don't understand what I'm saying, when you go home, replay this message again. There is more. God has a lot. And you have a part in it. You might be wondering me. At least they start counting the church. They will count pastor. They will not count Pastor Amara. Then minister. Sometimes that's not how God counts. Sometimes the leadership of God is just for order. I feel what I'm saying. I can tell you for free. Sometimes that's not how it counts. He will pick a young man called Stephen, who was ordinarily an usher, sharing food in church. He used him to shake up the land. He would send a man called Philip, another usher, send him all the way to Samaria. And the guy got there. Go and read the story, Acts chapter 8, the story of Philip in Samaria. The Bible says he seized the land totally. When the work began to overwhelm him, they had to send for Peter and John to come. It was too much. It was too much. And so I need people this morning that will say to themselves and say to the Lord, I want more. I want to be part of whatever you are doing. I don't understand what this man is saying, but I think I want it. I don't even think I'm qualified for what this man is saying, but I think I want it. I want my life to begin to count for something more. I want it to count for something more. I want it to count for something more. I don't even know if I can do what he's saying we should do. But Lord, I'm in. Look, Kathy Kuman said that the difference, she raised her hands after different cripples had walked by her hands. She said, the only difference between my hands and your hands is that my hands are yielded hands. See, that's the only difference. See, these hands are yielded, yours are not. Kathy Kuman said to the Lord one day, I was telling you guys, that I know I'm not, he said, I saw myself, I was not fine. I was not anything to be desired. And I told the Lord, I think I'm nothing. But if you can use nothing, please use me. And I can tell you, he can use nothing. He can use nonsense. Are you getting me, guys? He can use rubbish. Radbonki said, that in Germany, when someone is a dullard, maybe you don't know anything, you don't know book, they always say, the way they say it in Germany is, you are a zero. You say, that guy is a zero. I get the point. That's how they explain it in Germany. And he said that growing up, he was actually a zero. He did bad in mathematics. In fact, the first day Rehan was praying in church, the father was a pastor. And he went to the father and said, Dad, I am going to preach the gospel. The father told him, shut up. It is your elder brother that will take after me and preach the gospel and not you. Because it was nothing that looked like it. At the time he was sharing that thing, the elder brother was not even saved. I mean, as 2008, that Dad was sharing this story with us, the guy was not even saved. But the man, you see, God doesn't see as man sees. I get what I'm talking about. Doesn't say as man says. So Rahab said, I went to the Lord and I told him, I am a zero. I don't know. And the Lord said, yes, Rahab, you are a zero, but I am one. I'm going to attach myself to your zero and together we'll become 10. And that blessed me. And in that meeting, he said, are there any more zeros in the house? Stand by me will become 100. Next zero will become 1,000. Next zero will become 10,000. God can use zeros for anything. And so this morning, we're just looking for willing hearts. Are you getting me? So this teaching will take us into Start the Fire and all that. But I tell you, everything that God is going to do this month, we want willing hearts. Do you know, I tell people, they say they have evangelism. You don't know what to preach. Do you know what God wants you to do? Just come out. There is no other way. Just come out. I don't know. I'm not even interested in this thing. But I want to do what wants. I'm just going to come out. That's where it starts from. Just come out. I went to my first mission walk, not knowing jack about preaching. I just went. I got saved 28th of July. The mission work came up on 1st of August. 3 days after, I knew nothing. All I knew was I wanted to do it. And God saw my heart. Let me tell a short story before we close. That mission, when we came for the mission, because it was a big team of over 100 to 200 persons. So they send people in threes and twos and fours and fives, you know. It's one of the major things that formed the foundation for me in ministry. So when I got there, They've been holding. I've never been to that training in my life. Normally, you should have attended the training throughout the year. I've never been to that training. I just go bowling and I heard about it. I said, I want to go. They said, you cannot go because you've not been coming for the training. But I said, well, let me carry my bag and come first. If they send me back, I will not start going back. I got there, and that year, the mission fields, the people available were more than the mission fields available. So they said they were going to send people back. First of all, they were going to send people back. If you are here and you've never been to this training, well, you're going back. If you are here and you're not up to 16 years, you're going back. I was not up to 16 years. And let me get the point. If you are here and you've never been to this training, you're not up to 16 years. If you are, they said a lot of things. So they disqualified many people. They were just shouting and talking, trying to bring order. And somehow, the man in charge looked at me, looked towards me. You see, when your heart is willing, that's what I had. The man looked towards me. I was sitting with my friend, Pastor Casey, and then another. He said, yeah, you guys there, I don't know, but for some reason, you guys are not qualified, but I'm going to send people. So people should, as others are going home, hang around. That was it. They sent people home in their numbers. After they didn't send us to anywhere. That's why they went to my team and said, sir, you said we should hang around that we're going to go. And I said, come, get up again. Henry, sir. But join and the Oboronko, the Patawar had a mission field, the Opera Aqua. So that's how they sent. That's what my first mission. That's how I went. And it was okay for me. I just wanted to go. And that became what formed every experience that was better today. I went there in less than 1 week or 2 weeks, I was already preaching in crusades. Pastor Chid is one of my sons, you know, right? I met him in that mission work. I got him saved there. But he was a small boy. He was in primary 6. And so, when we finished, we were recruiting people to be in the prayer team that will sustain the work as we go. So, we're recruiting people, and then he came. The crowd, because we really had massive harvest. The crowd was too much. People that wanted to join what we were doing. So he came. He was in primary 6. He was the youngest. So they told him he cannot be part of the prayer team. He used to remind me of this in every day. Say, Papa, we're not going to form the prayer team. So they told him he cannot be part of the prayer team. And he pleaded with them. I say with them because I was there too. And they refused. Or we refused. It wasn't me. That was what our leader said. So we just stood by what she said. So that's right. Trying to discourage him. Can you fast for 3 days? He said yes. 3 days dry fast? Yes. We said, go and do it. Then we'll come back. And he did it. See, let me tell you, desperate people do desperate things. That's when I saw that willingness. He met me a couple of years after, about 2 years after that. I came for a program somewhere and he met me. I was just standing outside. I was on the bridge. I just came and he met me and said, I want to submit to you. I want to serve God under you. That I remembered that day. So I said, is this kind of person I want to work with? Are you getting me? You don't have to be okay. You just have to be ready. Who is following me? I didn't even tell him, let me go and pray. Well, he said, I want to work. I said, come, I'm taking you in. It's the heart that Jesus wants. The city can be taken. And all of us have a role to play. So I'm going to make a call as we close today. For people who will say to the Lord, I'm ready. The disciples of Jesus had just one thing. Look at that list. Peter, fisherman. James and those crazy guys. James and John, those ones who are so hot-tempered that they wanted to call down fire and consume an entire community. Peter was so much of a loose talker. We're just talking like, let's build 3 tents here. Shut up, you will not die. That was just him. Judas was a thief. Matthew was a tax collector. Yahoo boy. all of them. But they had one thing in common. Lord, we want to follow you. In John chapter 6, Jesus preached a very difficult message that nobody understood. And Bible said all the disciples left him. And he turned to the 12 and said, you two, you guys will not go. They told him, we are not going anywhere. For we choose the word of eternal life. That's all he wanted from them. We want to follow you. And he changed them. And I tell you, if Judas did not hang himself, he would have still been part of Jesus' great men. Because even after Peter denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus still took him in. Are you following me this morning? So we just want willing hearts. There is a lot to be done. And it will not end this month. It will not end next year. It's our lifetime commitment. At different stages on the journey, you'll be telling. I remember the day many commitments I'm telling you to make. I remember the day. I said, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk with you. I want to serve you. This is what will give me fulfillment. Lord, you don't need me. But somehow, you want me. Yes. And where you should go. Sing it again.
God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control.
This was actually me. Because I told God, I felt, Sha, that there will be nothing God will want to use. I was a stubborn boy growing up. You know, right? If you know my story. Very stubborn. To everybody, to my family, to everybody. Talk of the boy when they hear word. It was me. So, when I didn't know God was ever going to want to do anything with me. So I said, you don't need me. I know you can do without me. But I want you to do with me. Are you getting me? I know you can do without me. You have men all over the place. But I want you to do it with me. And today I dare say that I'm relevant to God's kingdom. Yeah. I know I am. I'm not indispensable, but I'm relevant. But it all started with, Father, I don't know what I'm going to, but I just want to be part of what you are doing. We'll talk more about taking this tomorrow, but today is about raising willing hearts who will be ready to run into the city. Young, old, SS1, SS2, first year, final year, graduates, married. Everybody has a part in this. Somehow you want me.
Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life.
Yes.
And where is your God? You don't need me, but somehow you want me.
Yes.
Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control.
Stand to your feet.
God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me.
Yeah.
Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to take my hands over my life.
Yes.
And where it should go.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.